Wow, good to see everybody. That's the story that we celebrate this weekend, and it's a true story. And today we're going to talk about the implications of it. But first, I want to say welcome to everybody, those of you who've been here a very long time or a short time, or especially those of you who are here for the first time, or maybe you're watching online for the first time, or you're at one of our other campuses, whether it's Legacy or Sloan Creek or Woodbridge. It's always keep in mind, too, in Espanol and Mandarin, as we all celebrate and join together with about 2.5 billion people around the world this weekend to celebrate the same thing that we consider to be the pivotal moment in history, and that is the resurrection of Jesus. Now, when I talk about, you know, the resurrection of Jesus being pivotal, there's a lot of implications, but we're going to focus on one implication this Easter. And that implication is this, that Jesus is the one who predicted it. He called his shot. He predicted his own death and resurrection and pulled it off, which means when somebody does that, you can trust him because he's God. And as God, he always keeps his promises. In a world where we can't count on a whole lot, we can count on that. In a world that is very uncertain, we can be certain of that, that God will always be faithful. Jesus will always be faithful to do what he says. And therefore, no matter what we're going through, we can count on him and his promises, and we can have peace even in an anxious and uncertain world. So that's what we're talking about. Now, when I say Jesus called his shot, to illustrate that, I decided to challenge Ryan Leake, who, if you have been around Chase Oaks, he's on our teaching team. He teaches quite a bit with me on the platform. And you may know that he was a college basketball player, tried out for the Phoenix Suns and all that. So he's a good basketball player. But I decided to challenge him to a game of pig. We're about to see it in just a little bit on video. And if you don't know what pig is, it's a shortened version of horse. If you don't know what horse is, well, here's what it is. So you call your shot, right? And the first person calls their shot. And if they make it, the other person has to, you know, also make it. Or you get a letter and for each missed shot. And if you, you know, get to P-I-G, pig, then you're out. Now, before we show the video, I just want to know how many of you think, just raise your hand. How many of you think Ryan won this game? Okay, all right. And how many of you are going with me? Okay, all right. Okay, I like it. I like it. There's a few of you. Well, let's watch. All right, so I got Ryan Leake here. Happy Easter, everybody. We are going to play a little game of pig.
That's right.
Where you call your shot, and then the other person has to make it. You know, you were a All-American college basketball player.
That's right.
I never really played basketball or played hockey. I'm a little concerned about my shoe game. You got better shoes. I got my pickleball shoes. They're not even tied here.
No, they're just, yeah.
But I'm still feeling good about this.
You should. You're a man of faith. And
I think all things are possible. Okay, so for this first one, I bet you didn't do this very much in college ball, but we're going to do the granny shot.
Let's do the granny
shot from the free throw.
Okay, let's do it.
All right.
Goodness.
There we go. Oh, there you go.
There it is.
You got it.
Yep, you
got
to go over the backboard.
Oh,
there we go.
Oh.
Hey, you almost
got it. Pretty good.
Oh, no.
Okay. Here, I'm going to. Oh. That's not good.
Yeah, we'll see.
Half court. Oh, no.
First try, too.
Right.
Wow. Woo! That's pig.
Okay, so you won pig.
I did win pig.
We'll do a fuller game of horse maybe for next Easter. I'll practice a little bit. But honestly, I don't want to tell Ryan this, but I just read his book, Chasing Failure, and it's a really good book.
Shameless plug.
And it's all about, you know, how failure is more your friend than your enemy and how it's not final, and it's great. But I didn't want to crush you today, man. I know you like failure, but I felt like if I played all out.
That's true.
And you
Thank
lost
you.
Basketball.
Thank you. For showing
that might be a little much. Yeah.
There's only so many failure a person can take, so I appreciate it.
So I kind of took it easy.
Yeah.
But hey, thanks for playing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks for the few that believed in me. Sorry I let you down. You know, it's one thing if you get Ryan Leake on a basketball court to call a shot, right? If you went with him, I get that, right? His percentages were going to be way better. But let's take it all the way to Jesus. Because with Jesus in general, in life, he hovers around 100%. He's always going to do what he says when he calls his shot, meaning we can trust him to keep his promises no matter what. And the resurrection is the perfect proof of that, as he both predicted it and pulled it off. Which the surprising thing to me, one of the most surprising things to me about the resurrection story in the New Testament with original followers of Jesus is how nobody expected the resurrection on that Sunday morning. I mean, you would think they'd have like a party, because he talked about it. He talked about on the third day, it raised from the dead. You'd think that everybody would be there Sunday morning with cake ready and party favors and, you know, little horns and party hats and all that. And as the sun was starting to rise, they'd all be there like, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The stone rolls away. Jesus comes out. He's like, dude. And he's like, yeah, this is awesome. And, you know, but that didn't happen. Nobody was there when the stone was rolled away and Jesus came out of the tomb. And when the ladies come a little bit after that and they see the empty tomb, they don't come with party favors ready to celebrate a resurrection. They come with embalming spices ready to embalm a dead body. And why? Because they should have expected it. Because Jesus predicted it. He called his shot. For example, in Luke 18 is one of those places we read this. Jesus took the 12, the disciples, aside and told them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets in the Old Testament about the Son of Man," which is talking about himself, "will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will what? Rise again." He gives the whole plan. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be beaten. He's going to die. But 3 days later, he's going to rise from the dead. Couldn't be more clear. But we learn in the next verse, it says the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. It went over their head. Because for a variety of reasons, as they've grown up and what they understood about the one that was promised, the Messiah, they called him, the Savior of the world. And as they understood that he was now not just a rabbi, he was not just what they thought of as Messiah, but he was God in human form. How could God die and be raised from the dead? And none of it made sense to them at all. And therefore, they weren't expecting it, and they were crushed when his death happened. But when the resurrection happened, and on that Sunday later in the day, they see him, well, that changed everything, because then they started putting it together. When they saw the risen Jesus, they were like, oh, you did exactly what you said. And they put it together, because Jesus will always do what he said. Jesus will always be faithful to keep his promises. And that reality 2,000 years later for us is so pertinent. Because as we live in a world that seems so chaotic and in circumstances at times that are really difficult, we can trust him. In a world where there's so little that we can be certain of, we can be certain of that. And there's a story earlier in the story of Jesus and his disciples that shows us how that makes a difference. And how you and I can go through all that we go through in life knowing that Jesus, who called the ultimate shot, keeps his promises for us as well. And how we can be at peace, be a non-anxious presence in an anxious world. And the story is a really simple story, but a very dramatic one and powerful one. It's a story where Jesus is with his disciples. He's by the Sea of Galilee. And he tells his disciples, hey, let's go to the other side. Come with me to the other side. We're going to get on a boat. We're going to go on a boat ride. We're going to go on the other side. And they're like, all right. So they all get in the boat. So that means the one thing that they should know is that they're going to get to the other side. Because there's an implicit promise when Jesus says, come with me to the other side, that we're going to get to the other side. So they should have been really clear. Okay, no matter what happens in the journey, we're going to get to the other side. But the journey itself was dramatically rough. And here's what happens. A furious squall came up. Now, I don't know if you've ever been out on the ocean when a squall line comes through. It's dramatic. You can see it coming. And it goes from calm to all of a sudden crazy. It's happened to me a couple of times. One time, I was with my dad. We were scuba diving and we were under the water. And when we started scuba diving, complete calm. The seas were just eerily calm. We didn't know there was a squall line coming. So we're under the water, we're scuba diving, and while we were down, the squall came through. And by the time we came up, it was dangerous. There were 10 to 15 foot waves, it was nuts. The boat was going up, you know, 10 or 15 feet, and then crashing down, and up and crashing down. And it wasn't safe to stay in the water, we were holding on to a rope, but at the same time, how are you going to get in the boat? And we had to wait until it came down, it would slam down, and then one person would grab the ladder, and it would fly you up in the air. And we just had to flop into the boat as best we could before it came down. And it was crazy. Well, this was even crazier because this is a little boat. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Some of you right now are going through a storm. And you're trying to put on a happy Easter face. Easter eggs and Easter services and Easter everything. And you know, you're trying to be okay. Even though you're kind of not okay because you're going through a storm. Whether it's a health issue or a financial issue or a job issue or a relational thing. And sometimes when we go through that, even though we know, may know that God is with us, it's kind of like the disciples, they look at him and it's like he's asleep. Like he doesn't really know what's going on. It's like, don't you even care what I'm going through? And that's why they say, how can you be asleep? Because they see him as ignorant. They're going to inform him. He's ignorant of something, but what we're going to see is no, actually they were ignorant of something much more important than the circumstances. So when they wake him up, he crawls out and he says, "Peace, be still." And instantly the crazy storm is totally at peace because he's in control of everything. And then he looks at the disciples and he says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Meaning after all this time, do you still have no faith? Actually, even more literally, in the original language of the New Testament in Greek, it's translated like this. Why are you so afraid? Are you still little faiths? It's a name that Jesus called them every once in a while. When he was shocked at how little faith they had, and he would just call them, are you still little faiths? Because Jesus, being God, knows something that they didn't know, that they had God in the boat. And when God's in the boat, you're going to get through what you're going through. And he says, so how can you be such little faiths? And it says next, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is he? Now, this was early in their relationship with Jesus, and they would come to know who he is. They would come to know that what who they had in the boat is they had God in the boat. And when you have God in the boat, well, that changes everything. And, you know, from the outside looking in, when you look at Christians and as they go through things, it can feel like Christians or look like Christians just for people that sort of put on rose-colored glasses. You guys look good with rose-colored glasses, by the way. But it can look, you know, that we're just sort of deny reality. So like, well, you know, God is good all the time. All the times God is good. Yeah, this is happening, but that's okay. It doesn't bother me. That we deny reality. Or that's what we're supposed to do. But that's not true. Genuine faith is not about wearing rose-colored glasses. It's not about denying reality. Genuine faith is not just blind optimism. I'll take these off. Genuine faith is based in reality. And two realities. One is the reality that we live in a fallen world where storms are going to happen, and Jesus never promised that we'd be exempted from them. He never told us, you'll never have a storm, you'll never have a downturn, you'll never have a problem. He never said that. But what he does promise is that one way or another, we'll get to the other side, whatever is on the other side that he wants for us. That he will be with us and will help us get through what we're going through and redeem it in our lives. And the disciples began to understand that. And Jesus, the one who predicted his own death and resurrection, will always fulfill the promises that he has made. And that changes everything in whatever we go through in an anxious world where there's so much uncertainty. 2 Corinthians 1:20, Paul says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ." That you and I can trust him. And Easter is a perfect reminder of that. That when he calls his shot, he makes it. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. And that means he will always help us get through what we're going through. Not that we won't go through storms. That's not the promise. But that we have God in our boat. When I think about that, I think back to a story. One of the first memories as a kid that I had, like one of my early, maybe first childhood memories. And it was in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I know the exact date. I was 6 years old. It was December 31st, 1973. And the reason I know that date is because an event happened on that date. And that event was the Sugar Bowl, which at that time was played on the 31st. Now it's on the 1st. But on the 31st in 1973, Alabama versus Notre Dame, and the national championship is on the line. And we were, you know, my family went there. But I don't know if I ever mentioned I'm in Alabama. Fan. I mentioned that. For those of you who are new to our church, and if you consider, you know, jumping in, I hope you do. I just apologize in advance. I am an Alabama fan. And I will say a wounded one lately, because a couple of months ago, instead of amen, I called for a Roll Tide. And you know what I got? Crickets. I got nothing. And there were even Alabama fans. I saw you out there. You didn't say anything. Because just because Nick Saban quit doesn't mean you have to quit. Like, come on. I mean, we're in the Elite Eight. In basketball, anyway, sorry. So we were watching, there for the game. I don't remember the game. I was 6 years old, but we lost 24-23 to Notre Dame. Thank you. And love you anyway. So yeah, we lost 24-23, but here's what I remember is that night. New Year's Eve, Bourbon Street, all those college kids, all those people. As you can imagine, it's crazy. This is about midnight. It's midnight, Bourbon Street, crazy, New Year's Eve. And I'm a six-year-old. And I saw things that I never knew existed as a six-year-old, right? And people doing things for beads that I never thought about that. I remember this. Looking in the doors of a club, we didn't go in, but I remember looking in the doors of this club, the doors were open, and this lady with not much on was swinging on this big swing over the crowd, and I remember asking my dad, why is she doing that? Which is a great question. I don't remember the answer, but it is a great question. And so all this crazy, right? People everywhere are doing crazy things and all of that. But here's what I remember way more than that, is I remember being at perfect peace. With all the craziness and all that going on, I remember being just totally at peace. And here's why. Because my hand was in the hands of my dad, that I knew as a six-year-old to be the smartest, strongest person ever. And no matter what was going on around me, I knew that I was going to be okay. And I could just sort of take it in. I was going to be all right. And Easter is a promise greater than that. Because the one that we place our trust in is smarter and stronger than my dad. He's the God of the universe. He's the one who defeated death. He's the one who called the ultimate shot and made it. And you and I, as we, in an uncertain world, can trust that. And it means that you and I can choose to not go through what we go through alone. if that's our desire. I mean, that's God's heart. You know, the whole Easter story is about God's desire to have a connection with you. He sent Jesus into this world. Jesus is God who took on human flesh, who came here to connect with you. He died on the cross for your sin and mine to take the penalty for the sin that we've committed so that that wouldn't stand between us and God, so that we could be forgiven. He was raised from the dead to defeat death, so that you and I would not know death but would know life, that He would breathe life into us and we would have eternal life. And He offers it all freely as a gift He paid for. And that means that for many of you right now, both here in the room or online, you are one small decision. I mean, it's a big decision, but just one decision away from everything in your life changing, because all that God wants for you is just right there. And He won't force it on you. You can decide to blow it off, or you can decide to say yes. But if you say yes, then everything, starting now into all eternity, is ahead of you. You and I, you don't have any idea all that God has in store for you. But it's good. And it's there. And it means you don't have to go through what we go through in this uncertain world on our own. In a little bit, I'll give you the opportunity to say yes to the invitation. Yeah, here's what He says. Jesus says, "Come to Me, all who are weary and burdened." And this is a world that makes us weary and burdened. "And I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Say, man, don't go through this crazy, broken world on your own. Come with Me, and I'll walk with you into a whole new life. In a little bit, we'll pray and give you an opportunity to say yes to that. And for those of us who have said yes to that, life right now may not feel so easy and light. Life, you may not be able to right now say rest. Rest. I feel burdened and weary. And God understands that, because this is a messed up world. One day He'll come back and fix it. But in the meantime, it's a messed up world. And this Easter may be a time to say, oh yeah, that's right. Just like the disciples, I've got God in the boat. The one who's in control of the wind and the waves is in control of everything. And I can trust Him, because He's the one who called the shot, the ultimate shot, His own death and resurrection. He's God, and He will always do what He promises to do. And I can trust Him to help me get through whatever it is that I'm going through. Hebrews 10:23 says, "He who promised," talking about Jesus, "He who promised is faithful." He makes the shot 100% of the time. Let's bow our heads together this Easter. And I'm going to invite us just to talk to God ourselves. And for some of you, this will be this Easter, the perfect opportunity to begin a relationship with God. And He's done everything. It's just there waiting. The invitation is there. Come. That's the only invitation. It's not do all this stuff. It's just come as you are. And so you may want to say something like this to God in your own heart right now. God, I come as I am. And I want to follow You, as You say, into a whole new life. And I ask for You to forgive my sin. And that's why You died on the cross and raised me to new life and begin to make me new and help me walk with You into the future You have for me. And use me to make a difference in this world and change whatever You want to change in me. And that's what it means to begin a relationship with God. And when we commit to God, He commits to us, and He doesn't break it. He will never leave us or forsake us. That's one of those promises we can count on. And then for those of us who've maybe taken that step, it's an opportunity right now, if you're weary and burdened in this world. He gets it. But to say, God, I need to know Your peace. I need to know Your rest. God, You know the storm that I'm going through. And I know You don't promise to keep me away from storms, and I'd love for You to still my storm. But until You do, or even if You don't, God, I need to know Your presence. I need to feel Your presence in the boat. God, I need to feel my hand in your hand as we go through this together. God, help me know your peace. Because I know you always keep your promise. In Jesus' name, amen.